Welcome to the Canine Cooperative Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another podcast episode.
Hey, Jamie, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm just ducky. It's a bit cold outside for my personal taste.
It is November in New Jersey. It's no bueno.
I know. So
it's not even November. We're going into December.
December, yes. Yikes. I'll just put more clothes on if that's possible. I'm like Joey. I'm wearing all the clothes.
Big fans of heated clothing.
Yes, absolutely. So Sabrina has a hair across her ass today about a topic. And this is when we always decide to podcast, is when one of us...
make the best podcast.
Yeah, I know. When one of us is feeling in the mood to talk about some stuff.
Unload some stuff.
So Sabrina, what do you want to unload today?
So I find that when I talk to clients, we have an interview process when we talk to people that want to come through our training, and a lot of the stuff that we hear are, you know, issues with the dog, and how inconvenient these things are for the people. And granted, they are, right? Behavioral issues are. But I always ask people, why did you get your dog? What was the purpose of getting a dog? And the responses you always get have something to do with how the dog is going to bring joy or some sort of image to the owner. Mm-hmm. And it's never about what the owner can do for the dog.
Yeah.
Right? And so we have already these beings that are coming into our home that we're setting up to fail.
Yeah.
Simply through our expectations of whatever delusions of grandeur we had when we decided to bring in, you know, the dog that we chose. And again, this goes, it speaks to a lot of things that we talk about, breed mismatch, you know, realistic expectations, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's never about what you can do to help the dog understand the environment better, what you can do to bring the dog into this space that you would like to share with them.
Yeah.
Right? So that's kind of what I want to talk about. I want to talk about readjusting this narrative of owning a dog and what it means when you're picking out a dog, when you're bringing that dog into a home, when you're struggling with behaviors, because it's not always about what the dog is doing to the human.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes it's about what the human is doing to the dog.
Yeah. And I think the big piece to this is, yes, people know that they have to care for the animal, but what they think in terms of like what their expectations are, like I have to take it outside to go to the bathroom, mm-hmm. I got to take it to the vet, and I got to feed it. But nobody thinks in terms of the social emotional aspect in terms of needs that a dog, especially a dog who thrives on family units.
Yes. Pack animals.
Pack animals. We're going to get a lot of flack for that.
Pack animals. Well, they're social. That's
they're
what it means.
They're social. So, like, they're born to not be one single unit things. Right?
Well, and that's kind of where a lot of behavior problems start, is when dogs are very young, right?
Yeah.
You have crating issues, you have separation issues, all these kinds of things that people, and that was what sparked one of these conversations, is that I was speaking, actually, a couple owners in a row. I don't know what it is, but a couple owners in a row.
We get themes.
We do.
The universe definitely sends us topics or pinpoints. I don't know what's in the water.
But pushes you in a direction.
Yes. We're like, we're seeing a lot of this lately.
So separation anxiety. There's been a lot of separation anxiety.
Mm.
And the conversation I was having was, you know, and it was two owners, one with a younger dog, and I'm like, okay, like it's reasonable that your dog is struggling with being alone, because again, pack animals.
Yeah.
And you're bringing a dog, the human environment is not native to a dog, so you're removing a dog from their social group, which is their litter, their parents,
mm-hmm.
and then usually just taking one. That does not mean to get more than one
no.
at the same time, people. But you take that one puppy and you bring it home, and then it's like immediately in isolation because the dog has to be crated. You have to supervise it, things like that.
You're not home all day.
And that's just, and when you are home all day, I mean, that's what sets up a whole nother problem is because people then go, okay, well, I'm home all day. I don't need to do this stuff.
Yeah.
But then when you do try to leave, that's when the problem starts. But so dog goes in a crate. We try crate training. The dog cries.
Yeah.
The human can't handle it
yeah.
emotionally, mm-hmm. right? And so then they remove the dog from the crate. Oh, baby, you don't need to do that. That's too hard.
Yeah.
2 years down the line, you're stuck in your house and you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And we have a person I was talking to that literally pays a person to come to her house and stays with the dog. Like,
yeah.
and we've had this. I mean, this isn't the first time we've
no.
heard this. But they start adjusting their life and start resenting the dog. And when I'm talking to them, like, at this point, it's going to be a lot more difficult for this person to work through
yeah.
this behavior because it's been years now.
Yep.
But we're going to have to put aside how we feel
yeah.
in order to get the dog to progress through this difficult moment so the dog can have a better life and the human can have a better life. But it's all about how this is making the owner feel. How is the owner feeling,
yes.
right? That was the big narrative that was happening. The dog is making me feel like this. I feel bad about doing this and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Not about what do I need to do to bring my dog
yeah.
into the next stage? What can I do to make
into
my
health.
Dog
yeah.
into, yes, a state of mental and
emotional health.
Exactly.
And that's the piece is that we don't talk about our human children or offspring. We don't talk about our human friendships or partnerships, whether that's a spouse or someone you're dating or long-term relationships. We don't talk about that in terms of ownership
right.
because we're very aware that we're in relationship, not ownership, meaning that there's another being at the other end
yeah.
that has thoughts, opinions, emotions, feelings, needs that we also have to fulfill for them if we want to keep them happy
mm-hmm.
in our lives as well. We're aware of the fact that it's a two-way street
right.
and each relationship is different in the sense, obviously you shouldn't be parenting your significant other. And if you are, I would suggest going to a therapist and seeking out why, but like you have to parent your children, but you have to take into account the fact that they're young beings. They don't know how to behave appropriately. It's your job to
yeah.
coach them. You have to, they're having these emotions. They're having these things because there's needs that they don't have a way to express properly. And it's your job as the parent in that relationship to teach them how to do that. Somewhere in this dog ownership thing, we stop thinking of our dogs or the acquisitions of dogs, acquiring dogs into our life
mm-hmm.
as entering into a relationship with a living being.
Right. Absolutely. And that's a slippery slope when it comes to labels and things
yeah.
like that. And really in the simplest form, yes, you own your dog as far as a legal standpoint goes.
Sure. But it's not a truck.
But it's not a truck.
You can't just park it in the driveway and take it out when your in-laws come over and be like, look at my nice truck.
Yeah, totally. Like, it's a sentient being, and we need to remember that. And we need to remember that you're entering into a relationship. And the thing is when you get young dogs that you don't know much about, or puppies,
yeah.
or, you know, even just a dog from the shelter or something like that people just don't know very much about, like, you have to be ready for these kinds of quote-unquote conversations that
yeah.
you're going to be having because, and that's the most difficult part, right? We bring in dogs because we want to feel good. We want to be loved. We want the affection, the attention, all that kind of stuff. But then where's the flip side and what happens when that's
yeah.
not the outcome?
Well, like the guy I was chatting with today, I had somebody reach out. They got a young German Shepherd off of a Craigslist
mm-hmm.
posting because
perfect example.
Their older Shepherd passed. They have another Shepherd at home. She's 7-8 years old. They wanted to do a good thing, and they have a beautiful home and a big fenced in backyard, and all their other dogs were fine and blah, all of the things, right? We got it because we felt bad for the dog and we knew we could give it a good home. So they brought this young German Shepherd into their home, and they're flabbergasted and annoyed, and they're like, the dog barks at me, the dog steals our stuff, like, we feel bad because we put it in the crate and then we take it out, and like, but he has this great yard. Why is he doing this to me? He's doing all of these things, blah, blah, blah. We can't do this. We can't do that. And I'm going, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Nobody here got spontaneously pregnant with a dog.
Yeah.
Right? Like nobody here, like you went out and chose to bring this living being with needs. All of this stuff is happening because...
It's a dog.
It's a dog. But the dog is having needs that aren't being met. It's frustrated. It needs attention. It needs education on how to live in the human structure mm-hmm. successfully, because that's not normal for a dog. Your dog is doing dog stuff that comes organically and instinctively to being a dog.
And well, here's the beautiful thing about dogs, right? They're not into monetary shit. No. They don't care if you have a big yard. I mean, listen, it helps. Who doesn't like to run around? But like... Right. They don't care about that shit. They don't care if they have like...
thousands of dollars in Petco stuff or a box, barf box every like whatever.
They do not care. And that's the beauty of it. But we can't wrap up emotional well-being in a material package for them. It makes no difference. So creating... like, and there, it's all... everybody struggles with the same thing to some extent, right? There's a lack of communication between and understanding between the human and the dog. That's the crux of all behavioral issues.
Yeah.
But taking a step back and realizing that the dog is not doing things to you.
Yeah.
Because they have malicious intent.
Or they want to be annoying.
Right. They're just being a dog, and they're working the environment the best way they know how in order to make themselves the most comfortable they can be.
Yeah.
And unfortunately that...
And get their needs met.
Right. And unfortunately that doesn't look...
great.
Appropriate.
Yeah.
A lot of times. And when you guys get a dog, you have to understand that you're bringing, just like anybody, like if you brought someone to stay in your home, right? Like if you bring it to a human perspective,
yeah.
Same thing. Like there's expectations of this home. Like you need to do this, that, and the other, right?
Yeah.
Simple rules, behavioral expectations. And then there's, hey, these are things that we do for your mental and emotional well-being. These are things that we do to teach you how we communicate so we can actually have a conversation, so
yeah.
we can help guide you in things. And it's surprising to me when people look at us and they're like, oh, well, you can fix that dog. Like he was like looking at
yeah.
other shepherds that we had.
It's like you think that dog would do well. You think that...
Yeah, you think it's going to be fixed. And it's like, well, no dog that we've ever worked with, ever,
yeah.
ever, have we not been able to create that balance
yeah.
and communication for, but...
We're not fixing anything.
We're not fixing anything. We are just creating that level of communication, mm-hmm. and we are able to read your dogs in a way where we can tell you what the things are going to be that are going to be most stimulating for them,
yeah.
most healthy as far as their emotional well-being and all that kind of stuff. And that's what we can do. But you still got to do the stuff.
You still have to be in relationship with the
exactly.
dog.
You still got to.
And that was the conversation where they wanted to drop the dog off, have us work with the dog, and then take the dog back. And it'll, because they kept asking, will training fix this? Will
yeah.
training improve this? And I said, but the issue isn't the demand barking or the stealing of the stuff or the
mm-hmm.
light chasing. That's not the issue. Those are symptoms of a bigger problem. And... If you went away to a place to lose weight and the only thing on the menu was chicken and kale and yoga, of course you're going to lose weight there because you don't have access to the other things. I know. We need to find out this. But then if you go home and your diet goes back to pizza and beer and cake, the stuff is going to go back because you're not doing the things that made you healthy. Because that's an ongoing relationship. That's why anybody who gets healthy or loses a lot of weight, they always talk about, this is my relationship with food. This is my relationship
yeah.
with exercise, because it's an organic living thing. And yes, they're dogs and you can't sit down with like a therapist and be like, tell me how you feel today. Like, you know what I mean? But...
Oh, but you can.
But
right?
If
I mean,
you
that's
learn
what we essentially
to,
do.
Yeah,
yeah,
but if you learn to speak their language... And then you teach them how to speak our language.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that stuff becomes easier because you're able to communicate. But we don't think in terms of that. We think we got this dog, much like we got this truck, we got this whatever. to serve us in some way. And then we're flabbergasted when the being starts being the being that it's being. And it's annoying to us. And we're like, ugh, this is an inconvenience. I didn't get a dog to be barked at. I didn't get a dog to have my shit chewed up. I didn't get a dog to like be bitten. I didn't get a dog to drag me down the street.
Well, and going back to the comparison to a truck, right? Like people get cars as status symbols, right? Like you want the prettiest, the thing that everybody has. You want the biggest, the best, the shiniest, the nicest rims.
Yeah.
And so that's how people choose their dogs, which is...
This is very true.
Horrific.
Yeah.
Because you're going to pick a dog that, albeit is going to be gorgeous, but is not going to align. That's why there's a lot of German Shepherds out there that have this problem with families, because they pick dogs based on status, looks...
Instagram, I hate to say it, but like
Instagram,
the dogs
sure.
with Instagram pages that don't show a realistic, like we have a dog in with us now, has an Instagram page. Like we've had a lot of dogs that have Instagram pages come through.
And I don't think a single one shows how it's attacked their family.
Yeah. No. They show all this flashy stuff, this cute stuff, these clips, blah, blah, blah. And that becomes like, oh my God, I want that.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see my dog do that. I want to have that with my dog. Mm-hmm. When like...
And if you look at his Instagram page, he's an adorable, sweet guy.
Yeah.
He's also pinning down the children, attacking the father.
Ripping pants. Running away.
Yeah. Like it's...
And euthanasia was thrown on the table for this dog.
Yeah.
So, and those are the things where, like, people see that, and they're like, oh my gosh, I want that.
Or, and it couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, and, or you remember that a certain breed of dog made you feel a certain way at a certain time in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not looking, what you're looking for is to feel that way. You're not looking for companionship or relationship with another being. And that's a big factor, too, like... Oh my! I've had shepherds all my life.
Always shepherds.
It is. I've had pit bulls all my life. I've had Rottweilers all my life. None of them have acted like this.
Or my family grew up
with.
Or I mean, I remember I worked with a woman, and bless her, she was just the sweetest thing. But her husband passed away, and he raised their shepherds.
Yeah.
And so she got a young shepherd because of, like, the loss of her husband. So there's a lot wrapped up in there, you know, and. This guy is great. Loved the dog. He was a super fun guy. Very sweet. But the level of energy for this woman being by herself and not having someone like her husband, who was the one that was the trainer of these dogs, which is why they were well-behaved and why she could handle them.
Yeah.
It turned into a disaster.
Yeah.
And then it's even more emotional baggage because, like, this isn't just a dog. This is a replacement for her husband.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And that's how people, like, you can't... We can't pick partners in life like that.
No.
Human or animal.
And that's where a big theme in all of the people that we talk with, a big theme is the fact that they resent their dog.
Oh, yeah.
It comes up with everybody. They resent
lots
the dog.
Lots of tears.
Lots of tears. They got this dog because I wanted to have, like, in not so many words, they're not aware enough of what's going on underneath to voice this, but this is what we suss out, is I got the dog because I wanted the family picture of a dog. I got the dog for my kids because I wanted a dog as a kid.
Right.
So I want the experience for my kids, of owning a dog.
Right.
I got the dog because he looked just like my old dog that passed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grieving that loss and I needed a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
I got the dog because I think it's so fun to go and see dogs out at breweries. And I want the attention that brings me is having a dog with me. Like, I got the dog because I feel bad about my trauma in the past. So I have to go out and rescue the saddest story out there so that I can try to self-heal my trauma by putting that on the dog.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much I statements around dog ownership that it's hard for people, like even clients of ours that we work with and go through programs, like, I don't care. I don't know why she still acts like this around dogs.
Why
is she
doing
it to me?
Yes, that's a big one. Why are they doing it to me?
Yeah. This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed. Nobody else's dog does this. Bullshit. Everybody's dog does this. They just don't put it on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So, but...
And, it, like, listen, they really do.
Yeah.
I mean, our own dogs do shit. It's not... And it's a ever-evolving situation. It's not... Especially when it comes to training or specific behavioral issues, it's not a one-and-done thing.
No, it's never a one-and-done thing. Because you're constantly...
You're constantly working.
Because it's an organic relationship. Like, no matter every relationship I look on in my life, whether that be, like, my husband and I just celebrated 14 years of being married.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! Nobody's dead yet. But our lives over this decade and a half together, our relationship had to be reassessed and worked on at every point.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot parent my 12-year-old now as I parented her when she was 2, 3, 4, 5. And the parent who I am to her is the different than the parent that I am to her youngest sister. Because one's the first one, one's the fourth one. Mm-hmm. You parent differently when you have different kids. Like... And as they reach different developmental ages, you're constantly changing the way you interact with the relationship, because relationships are organic, growing things. And that's the thing that people don't understand, is when they come and we say training isn't in the 20-minute session. Training happens every time you're interacting with the dog. You are training the dog how to interact with you and the environment, whether you're conscious that you're doing it or not.
Mm-hmm.
The dog is learning how to interact with you and the environment based on your relationship. And that's the hardest part when dogs go home from a board and train, is that we create an associated relationship that's very clear boundaries and rules, because it's very neat.
Mm-hmm.
We don't tie up our emotional shit in it.
Right.
And then they go home, and the reality that they've created with us and the reality that they used to have with their owner clashes.
Yep, they collide.
And there has to be a reconciliation of those things. And that's the hardest transition point for people, is because their emotional stuff about what the dog means to them and how it validates them as a dog owner.
It's Betty Ford for dog owners.
Yeah.
That's essentially what it is. You have to learn how to relearn how to interact with this being in a healthy way. Because you're both being unhealthy. And that's what happens in addict and, you know, enabler. Outside relationships, you know, enablers, addict and enabler situations, is that, you know, the behavior just of the addict just becomes more and more extreme, and the behavior of the enabler is just, it becomes, that's how it becomes resentful. I think that's how I want to describe it.
Yeah. Like,
because you're constantly giving to something or having resentment towards,
look at all these things I behavior. Do for you, and you're still treating me this way.
And you're still treating me this way, but I love you, so.
And I don't want you to be uncomfortable, so here.
Right. And
when I give you drugs, you abuse me, but if I don't give you drugs, you're miserable and it's horrible, so maybe if I just give you a little bit, you won't abuse me as hard.
Right. Yeah.
That's basically what it is. Which is a very good point, by the way.
It's just a very interesting dynamic, especially when you bring it down to people that do have like trauma and stuff like that wrapped up into it.
No, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But
and so, like, we bring this up not to be down on owners for getting a dog for selfish reasons, but it's a moment of awareness that each one of the people we work with has to come to, especially if you're signing on to our program. That's usually when it happens, where it's like,
Oh
man. Like, this is not...
And that's literally everyone's response when I say it. They're like, oh.
Yeah. Because there's nothing... And again, that conversation I had with the guy who wants to rehome his shepherd, his response was, oh.
Yeah.
I can't, like, dogs aren't cars. Trainers aren't mechanics. You can't just send your dog away to be serviced.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have somebody come in and spot treat one specific issue, because it would be like taking a Tylenol when you have a brain tumor.
Well, and that's what so many people do, right? The other woman I spoke with had a horrific time with other trainers with reactivity, because they're spot treating the reactivity.
They're not looking
at the relationship. And that's, generally I find when we do transfer dogs back is that's the behavior that has the biggest hurdle.
Yeah.
Because especially people that have gone through a lot of obedience training.
Yeah,
because they're
yeah.
so wrapped up in ordering the
yes.
dog around and not taking their emotional state into any sort of, you know, context
mm-hmm.
at all, and how that's affecting what's going on and how they can provide their dog comfort and safety in these moments.
Yeah.
Right. And it just creates a lot of hardships because the thing goes back to, why are you reacting? Why are you embarrassing me? Not how
yeah.
can I make you feel better so we can work through
I'm
this.
Doing it wrong. I'm going to make it worse. I spent all this
yes.
money and
mm-hmm.
it's not working and this is never going to work.
Yeah.
And what's the point?
Yeah.
I'm never going to.
Reactivity
yeah.
is relationship. So just
mm-hmm.
a little tip for anybody out there dealing with that. If you're working with a trainer that's trying to spot treat that behavior. And what I mean by that is like, let's go right after the reactivity. It's a relationship thing.
Yeah.
You'll never resolve it. And so many of these issues are relationship based.
Yeah.
And they do not get resolved through obedience. They do not get resolved through spot treating. There's
yeah.
no easy way.
No.
And that was part of the conversation too. There's no easy way around this with that guy.
Yeah.
You have to build the relationship.
The relationship. Because if you don't know the trickle-down effect of these things, like going back to the analogy of we get people who call us and they're like, my dog struggles with this and this and
yeah.
this and this and this and this. And they list this long list of stuff, right? Well, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? And we can travel it all back to one thing,
mm-hmm.
but people don't know that all of those things have the same root cause.
Mm-hmm.
And we come in and we're going, what other people have done or what they're looking for is like, oh, you have numbness in your toes. You need a podiatrist.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You have weakness in your left side. You need a physical therapist. Oh, you have a headache. You need a neurologist. And you need to go to the eye doctor because you have double vision. And also, like, you need speech therapy because it's slurred and all this stuff. And they're like, oh, well, maybe you can give me some Tylenol. I'll give me a referral for eight different. You don't need eight different doctors.
No.
You have a brain tumor that's causing all of your symptoms. So if you just treat the brain tumor, all the other symptoms will go away.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, relationship with your mom.
Yeah.
Like, can't spot treat that. That's
no.
You got to build it, you know, or any sort of familial
relationship
issues.
Relationship.
Any
yeah.
relationship in general. But I feel like that's something a lot of people can identify with is issues within family. It's like, you can't just show up and spot treat that like on Thanksgiving.
No.
You know, like there's no, you have to build that over time. And
well, and if you look at it in terms of reactivity, right? Like when you're with somebody and there's trouble in your relationship, right? You're struggling. They walk into the room and the way they take their shoes off, you go, oh, here we
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be, and then you get a certain way and then they're attuned to the fact that you get a certain way. And then they respond
mm-hmm.
that. And the next thing you know, you're fighting about some deep rooted issue when all they did was untie their left shoe.
Yep.
And that's what happens with you and your dog, where
mm-hmm.
it's like your dog starts to go, I have a feeling, but I know when I feel this way, they're going to do this. And when they do this, that means I have to do this to get them to stop doing that.
Yeah.
And then it snowballs. So it's so, and then the associations are made. So when you start to do this, your dog does this, and then your dog does this, and you do this. And reactive dogs make reactive owners. And that's where you get in this toxic cycle of relationship. And that's why we focus so much on relationship, because you can't spot treat it. You have to treat the root cause. And the root cause is always buried deep in the relationship you have with your dog. But if you don't think you're in a relationship where the other being has the right to have needs and emotions and thoughts and feelings about what's going on around them, and you don't take that into consideration, the issues you're having with your dog will never get solved.
Nope.
Because you're coming at it with only your perspective and your perspective only, and you're trying to spot treat it out of the dog instead of creating this two-way communication thing where you can fix your relationship and get to a better place organically. And most of that stuff will fade, like most of the issues you're dealing with will fade away without even addressing them.
Yeah, no, it always does. It always happens. And that's the thing. I mean, I don't want to get it all woo-woo, but I mean, you need a therapist essentially.
Yeah.
Like, I find ourselves being more along those lines than I do like obedience trainers.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's.
That was a good time.
Pretty much.
You were all heated at the beginning. I got all heated up at the end.
Got you all.
You got me all riled up
now.
Took me a while to find my soapbox, but I'm on it now. I'm on it now. So, I mean, that's just some bone to chew on for you guys. Mental,
a bone to chew on.
That's a bone to chew on. We've got a bone to chew on. For you guys, just to think about when you look at your dog, instead of considering yourself like a dog owner in the fact that I own this thing, I'm the caretaker of this thing, consider the fact that you are in an organic relationship and your dog has needs and
consider what you can do for those needs.
Yeah. And think about, are you fulfilling those needs in a way that
works for your dog?
Yeah.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Right? So,
well,
lots of ways to get that done.
We hope that was some food for thought for you guys, and we're gonna go put on some more clothes and head out into the cold. And go.
We're actually going to go look at a shepherd in the shelter.
In the shelter right now.
I'm telling you, lots of German shepherds. I don't know.
My heart breaks. I love them. Anyway. All right, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.